From the heart of the hospital community. Check this out. 24 hours a day. Radio Stitch.
Hi and welcome to Radio Stitch. You listen to me. Ooh, we've got a bit of feedback there. Listen to me, Mick Pierce, and today we have a special guest in. And it's actually one of our presenters. And her name is Linda Ducks. And she's actually wrote a book. And it, apparently it's fabulous. I haven't had the chance of read it yet, but I've got it. And I'll introduce you now, and here she is. Linda Ducks, welcome to Radio Stitch, Linda.
Hello, Mick. Thank you for inviting me.
That's great. I just, you know, I mean, I've known you for quite a while, obviously.
Yes.
And I didn't know you were an author until I seen you, actually, you were at the Arc promoting it.
I was, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, they very kindly put a writer's evening on for me, or a signing evening, I should say, yes, which went very well. We did enjoy it. Yes, there were plenty of people there.
Great.
And they kept bringing extra chairs out, and I thought, oh, my word.
Well, that's it, you know. I mean, and hopefully the book's doing well.
It is doing well, yes. I'm amazed,
good,
yes.
Good, good.
Yes, I've actually done an interview on the American Author Show, and since then it's picked up in America quite a lot as
brilliant.
Well. And I'm due to do one on the 18th of April, another show for the American Talking Books.
Oh, brilliant.
So, yes, I'm looking forward to that, yes.
Great. I mean, how did you actually get into writing it, you know?
I've always enjoyed writing, even as a child. My parents, coming from the farming community, my parents didn't really believe in reading and that sort of thing, because they said, you know, there's better things to do with time in your life and, you know, don't waste your time with books. So I usually, in the morning, early mornings as a child, I always took the dogs for a walk, and we had a copse as part of the farmland, and I used to go and sit under the old oak tree, and it was quite gnarled, and there was a knot in the tree right towards the bottom on the big trunk, and I used to have a little notepad in there with a pen,
right.
Things we do as children,
yeah.
And I used to, yes, and I used to sit under there, and I'm not a poetry person, I find that difficult, but I used to write about little things that I saw around me, or the birds and all that sort of thing, and then I would slip it back into the gnarl place and collect the dogs, and off I go back. And my mother would always say, how long does it take you to walk these dogs? Little did she know, you know. And I'm sure to this day, well, I'm not sure if the copse is still stood, but if it is, I wonder actually if my little notepad and my pencil are still in this little knot in the oak tree. If I went back, I wonder if I would find it, but it's probably something I would never do. But
I mean, when you mentioned the oak tree there, I was going to start singing Tie a Yellow Ribbon, but
yes. And then in the winter, I used to, because of the weather, I was free on a Saturday, yay! And I used to pop down to the local library, and Edith, the librarian there, she was a lovely lady. She was semi-retired, but she was lovely. And I used to go, and she kept a little box under her desk, and she gave me a writing pad, and I used to sit and write. I used to read a lot,
right.
But I would also write short stories. Never put my name to them, and I used to pop them back in the box, and she would slip it back under her desk, and she'd go, I'll see you next Saturday, Linda. And bless you, she never did tell my parents.
Oh, great.
Yes, she was so sweet.
Yeah.
And then eventually, of course, she retired, and life moves on, and I left, and eventually the library was taken over by other people. And I sometimes think back, and I think, I wonder what they thought when they were clearing out the cupboards underneath, because they would come across that box, and it would have all these short stories in, and these little anecdotes and things like that. And I wonder if they thought, oh, do these belong to? Because I never put my name to it, you know, just in case.
It's a pity you didn't keep them and put them into another book.
I know, yes, it would have been, yes, because some of it, strangely enough, was a little bit like a diary. I would write about the week's events and life with my parents, because it wasn't easy with them, bless them.
Yeah.
And I did write it, so maybe it's a good job that I didn't put my name to it and nobody else found them, you know. I'm sure they would just have been thrown out at the time. But
So when you were younger, and obviously older as well, I don't mean that in a derogative way. But when you were younger, and obviously as you're getting older and, you know, in your teens and your 20s and what have you, who were your favourite authors?
Agatha Christie, of course, was my favourite.
She was one of mine.
As a child, I had Enid Blyton, of course.
I remember all them. I've read all them.
And yes, as I say, Agatha Christie. I think really she was the first author that I picked up because I was always interested in those sort of stories. I liked murder mystery stories and that sort of thing. It's something that always interested me. And I went on to Arthur Conan Doyle because, of course, I got introduced to Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Yeah. I love those, yes. And then recently, of course, was Margaret Atwood with The Handmaid's Tale. I remember reading it when it was first published in the 80s. And it left you at the end sort of, well, did she have to leave it there? She's not really finished it. Well, what's going to happen? And we've waited and waited for another book to come out, a follow-on. And it never did until about 4 years ago when The Testament came out. And in between that, my daughter Emma, bless her, we got into watching Handmaid's Tale and we loved it.
Right.
And then when The Testament came out, of course, we were excited. And I actually took Emma to Liverpool because she was there talking as one of their guests at the Liverpool Stadium.
Yeah.
And we went, I took Emma and we stayed overnight and we did enjoy it. Fortunately, we'd read The Testament because she was explaining the reason why, you know, that she'd...
Why she followed on with
it. Why she followed on with the other. Yeah. And why... I won't give anything away in case some haven't read
it. Well, I haven't read it, so...
So right at the end, the person we least expected was the one that brought Galliard down. So, yes, it was... You know, so it was fascinating, but we loved it. And Emma was thrilled to bits because we'd gone.
She would be, yeah. Exactly. Now, talking about your book, which we haven't yet...
No.
Which we're going to, which is, what's it called?
Land of Opportunity.
Okay.
It's an historical fiction.
Uh-huh. And a little brief, what's it about?
The story is about Rose, a young girl that lived on the North York Moors, lived on a farm. I think probably I was thinking of myself at the time.
Yeah, possibly,
But not with the parents that were there. But she... her mother died when she and leaving her with her father, who was quite a brute of a man, and her older brother, who made unwanted advances towards her. And she did have a friend, but she didn't get a chance to go and see her very often. But thanks to the help of her friend, she managed to escape. And she went to a friend, and her father got the milk train and took her to York, and from there she got to Liverpool. Her mother had put hidden money away for her, so that she knew, she said to her before she died, you need to get away, dear, you know, if anything happened to me. And she got herself to Liverpool and she managed to pay and got a passage to America.
All right.
As I think a lot of young girls and people and families, it was the land of opportunity in those days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she immediately just thought of America. And the book actually was written because, the story started as a short story because of the writers' group at Stockton at the Ark.
Right.
Joan Opie is our tutor, and she used to give us just ideas for the next week's story time. And so that's how it started, and it finished actually where she stood on board ship and she's looking back at England and she's going, will I ever see home again?
Right, yeah.
And I went, the end, finished, yes. And everybody went, and? What? Don't leave it, you can't leave it there.
Well, it leads on to another one, doesn't it? You know, this is what I always think. I mean, at the minute, as I think I spoke to you earlier, one of my favourite authors, I've only known about him for the last couple of years, is a guy called Solomon Carter.
I have heard of him, but I've not read his books.
Yeah, he's absolutely fabulous. How his books haven't been turned into either TV series or films, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's going to do an interview with us later on as well.
Oh, so, how fascinating. You
know, but it's great to get...
I must get one of his books and have a read, because I've heard of him, but I've not read the book.
But it is great getting people like yourself in.
Yes.
And to talk about how you got into it.
Well, I was so thrilled that you asked me to come in.
Hey.
As a guest.
Well, I mean, it makes a change from you doing a radio show.
Yes.
Because you're actually a radio Sitch presenter.
Yes.
So, with your daughter Emma, of course.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
yes.
So.
Well, yes, to be fair, let's be fair, it is Emma's show, but she's invited me to take part, and I read my short stories on the show.
Oh,
Emma
brilliant.
Does the music, yeah. And I read the short stories.
See, what a good
what a good team you are.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that's fantastic. So, any plans on doing the second book then?
The second book is in the process at the moment. I'm hoping that late summer, early autumn, the second book will be out. I must advise everyone really that they need to buy the first book, because the second book does carry on from where the first book left off.
Yeah.
The first book finishes in 1910, and so the second book actually starts in 1912, April 1912.
Yeah.
So yes, because if they don't read the first book, they might be a bit confused as to who the characters are.
Yes, yeah,
that sort of thing. Yes, because it does, as I say, carry on. Yes.
Great. So when roughly do you expect to finish it, or?
Well, I'm only about halfway through at the moment.
Hey, things don't come...
Things get in the way.
I know. Life gets in the way. Yes, I know.
Home life gets in the way.
Tell me about it.
Especially when I write it at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
And I've just sat down to start, and this voice will go, "Would you like a cup of tea, dear? Have you put the kettle on?" Go away, leave me alone.
I know. It's difficult when you're doing things at home.
Yes.
Because you've got family around you all wanting different things.
Yes.
Especially when you're the mum.
Yes.
Whereas men don't get that.
Yes. And then I'm out on a Monday because my son Richard does volunteer work at James Cook Hospital.
All right. Lovely.
And then, of course, I'm dragged out on a Tuesday because we've Radio Stitch to come to. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So and then Thursday's writer's group.
Limited time, you see. So it takes a little bit longer.
It
than
does.
And you're just sitting down and saying, right, I'm going to do this now.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get up in the early hours of the morning, I think, and write then.
Right.
That might not be much good during the day then, but I mean...
Well, hey, I mean, the thing is, you go to bed at night, I mean, I do, and you lay there and you're just nodding off and something comes up in your mind.
Oh, yes.
And then the trouble is, when I get up in the morning, I've forgotten all about it again.
Yes.
And I think I should have wrote it down, or I should have done something.
Yes. The secret is, like myself, you keep a little notebook on the table.
Exactly.
And then I have a Kindle, so I don't disturb hubby. I open the Kindle because I've got the light from that.
Yes.
And then I'm writing down the ideas. That might be good in the next chapter.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I sit there and I think about songs I'm going to play on my show and what have you.
Of course, and then
I think, I'll do that. Again in the morning, I think, what was that I was thinking of? You know, and, well, I'm old now, so.
That's my problem as well, I'm afraid.
Give over.
The brain can't remember.
No. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you come in, Linda, and I really am. And I know I used to call you Emma, because I associate you, Emma, with you. Rather.
I'll just answer to Emma.
I know you do.
We don't worry about it.
Anyway, that's brilliant. Thanks for coming and talking about your book.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it.
No, that's brilliant. And it's been a pleasure with you.
Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome there. So we'll look forward to your second book.
Yes.
And you come in again to discuss that?
Oh, I would be delighted to. Yes, thank
Fabulous.
You.
Thanks again, Linda. Thank you. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A brighter mix of songs from yesterday and today. The healthiest sound. Radio Stitch.